This is Wade Rasky with the Chief Organizer's Report on studies find microfinance does not reduce poverty, assets do. Several years ago, Acorn International did a research report that seemed heresy to many, but started from the simple proposition that since microfinance is debt, debt does not reduce poverty, and therefore the value of microfinance was the same as buying a job through an employment agency, work at a steep price. For many, the myth of microfinance will endure, and millions of dollars will continue to support what are essentially public and philanthropic investments in banking startups, not for the poor, but for the managers of the debt-fueled lending agencies themselves, many of which start as nonprofits and, if able to, prove out their finances at high interest, convert to for-profits. Standing on the ledge of prevailing economic development opinion, I took note of an article in the October 2015 Scientific American that looked at the work of a Yale University-based nonprofit called Innovations for Poverty Action and its founder, Dean Karlan, an economics professor there. He had become suspicious of microloans while working in South Africa decades ago and seeing people constantly returning to renew loans and understanding that it didn't add up to getting out of poverty, but instead was little more than a debt treadmill. At some length, he says, over the years, microloans kept nagging at my colleagues and me. 15 years after my first study attempt in South Africa, we now have 7 randomized trials completed on traditional microloans and 1 on consumer lending back in South Africa. These studies found some benefits of microloans, such as helping families weather hard times, pay off goods over time, and make small investments in businesses. But there was no average impact on the main financial well-being indicators, income and household and food expenditures. In short, maybe the loans didn't hurt them, but neither did they help them, at least enough to get out of poverty. Furthermore, Karlan notes that these microloan programs were not reaching the poorest of the poor, or what they term ultra-poor, people living on the purchasing power of $1.25 per day. Not to just be a Debbie Downer, IPA's experience argues for providing the poor with a productive asset to make a living, giving them training on asset utilization, providing them a direct stipend for daily living, or what we used to call in welfare rights, more money now, giving them health support and savings tools and regular coaching like CEOs get. It would cost money, but at least it would be money well spent because monitoring has already established that health and hunger were greatly improved and the very poor were making real progress in areas as diverse as Ethiopia, Ghana, India, Pakistan, and Peru. Sounds like that could be a way to go if we're really trying to get somewhere. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.